You are locked in to Locked On Badgers on a Thursday. My name is Asher Lowe, joined by Ben Kenny. We are the team over at Badgers Wire. We are covering Wisconsin basketball and football every single day at badgerswire.com. And of course, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Badgers brings you the insider student perspective filled with stats, special guests, all things Badger sports. And we have a lot of draft content to talk about today. NFL draft show in multiple ways. We're going to do some Wisconsin evaluations for players this year, but we're also going to go back in time a little bit and look at what people thought of Wisconsin players that are now in the NFL, what people thought of them in their pre-draft process, and we have a special game to go with it, and I'll get to that a little later. Make sure you listen and follow if you're on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can play Locked On Badgers. You can also play Locked On Badgers on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Badgers. Apple, Spotify, hit that follow button. Follow us on Twitter at ALOW_33, at Ben Z Kenny, and of course at Locked On Badgers. Ben, how are you doing? Ready for some NFL draft content today?
Dude, I'm good. The weather's nicer again. It's a beautiful Thursday. We have some volleyball stuff up on the site too. Got to show love. National championship tonight. Not national championship. Final four, semifinal tonight against Texas. But I'm feeling good, man. The draft's a week away. It's one of my favorite kind of like little seasons within a season during the year. Last year when the draft happened, it was the only thing happening in the world. So that like had a special kind of value, but I'm excited, man. I love draft week.
Draft week is good stuff. And I'm very excited for the game we have to play because I have three names that are real, real great NFL players from different eras. And they all had some pretty hilariously incorrect now looking back at it, but hilariously wrong scouting reports and pretty harsh. So I'm excited to get to that. But first, let's start with some guys on this team and specifically dive in to one Badger that is going to hear his name called. When is it going to be? I think he's going to hear his name called for sure. When is it going to be? Not sure. Probably a little later in this process, at least from my estimation. Let's talk about Rashad Wildgoose.
So, I did kind of a full draft preview up on Badgers Wire. You can find that for him and Colvin Lannon. There will be more coming. But I'm going to be the first one to say it. Talking about Rashad Wildgoose, I think he's a lot better than his numbers show or than his limited action shows. So he played a good amount as a freshman, wasn't really a starter. He then played 12 games as a sophomore. His junior year in 2020, plays in the Badgers' first two games, gets hurt in their third against Northwestern. He didn't play against Michigan, comes back for the Northwestern game, plays for the beginning part of that, then gets injured. And I didn't really think that it would end his season, but it ended up ending it. He declares for the draft. So that was kind of a surprise to start off that he did declare that early because he could have stayed another year. But he's not a corner where you look at his body of work and you can point to 3-4 years of big production and kind of big numbers and a lot of film. He hasn't played that much in college, but I think from watching him last year, from watching him recently, I think he's a lot better than his numbers do show.
I tend to agree with you on this. I think that he was playing in a defense with a lot of guys that get talked about a lot more than him, and also playing at a position that traditionally isn't a great Wisconsin position in this era of Wisconsin football. The secondary hasn't been the strong suit for the last decade for Wisconsin's defense. On very good defenses, that just hasn't been the focal point. It's been the linebackers, in Jim Leonard's scheme. And it's been those, especially those quick, athletic linebackers that can make plays in the backfield and rack up the sack numbers in that 3-4. So I think that was part of the reason as to why tradition. And you know, it's like the old thing about Ohio State quarterbacks. I feel like that applies to a lot of different schools, a lot of different positions where, oh, if you're a Wisconsin offensive lineman, that's viewed a little differently than if you're a Wisconsin cornerback, right? Not depending on who you are or how good you are, just in general, that's kind of the consensus. And I don't really like that. I think it's kind of limiting and a little ridiculous, but it'll probably help Colvin Lannon in this draft a little bit, having that Wisconsin offensive line you name behind him.
You're gonna bring me back to the whole Justin Fields thing with the Ohio State quarterback.
No, not trying to start you on that, but you understand what I'm saying, right? It applies to a lot of schools and a lot of positions in college football, where even in college basketball too, where it's like, UNC, not a place you go if you are a great you know, high scoring, tough, big, or sorry, guard. Like, it's not a place you go to like get buckets as a guard. It's pretty rare. You see like some 20 points a game point guard at UNC. Cole Anthony was like the one exception recently. But a place like, I don't know, a place like, let's think about a big man heavy. Like, okay, Wisconsin is a good example, right? Like Wisconsin basketball as well. Not a place you go to like put your stock up traditionally. That's just how it's thought of. And you kind of get this label that's stuck on you as a program and as a school about what you are in the draft and what is good about you in the draft and what is not. And I don't really understand fully why it applies so specifically to positions because every player is so different. Like, I mean, right? Like, I mean, Justin Fields is not Cardale Jones.
You're right. I know what you're talking about. For some positions in some sports, it does kind of make sense. When you talk about a Wisconsin offensive lineman, the reason that they're viewed so highly no matter what is that the scheme and what they learn at Wisconsin translates easily. And you could say that about the other positions or someone in a Jim Leonard defense. You know that they're running a complex defensive scheme and they're able to kind of transmit and pick up information that you're going to need to do when you're in the NFL. So it works kind of in some respects where if you just blanket statement over all of it, it's not something that you should base all your opinion off of. But if you're talking about, you know, will he project? That's definitely a piece of evidence.
Maybe I'm being too nice, but I don't think it should be viewed as a big negative on somebody when it has nothing to do with them, really. Versus I think it's fair to view it as a positive for someone coming out of a certain system with certain coaches, with certain tradition. I just don't think it should be viewed as a negative to tear guys down when they haven't played an NFL snap and they're a completely different player than somebody else you're trying to tear them down because of.
You're right. You're right. And I mean, you could look at Wild Goose as an example. The recent history of Wisconsin cornerbacks going to the NFL is not a really rich one. You have a couple that are playing now, but they're mostly special teamers. Your Natrell Jamersons, Dakota Dixons, maybe safeties that go on to play special teams. But why? I mean, you're right. You shouldn't hold Wisconsin's kind of not dense and not extensive history with sending quarterbacks corner to the NFL. You shouldn't hold that against him because this is a guy.
But corner as well.
Or quarterbacks. Well, there might be another former Wisconsin quarterback in the NFL sooner rather than later, but we can get into that maybe in next year's draft show. Rashad Wild Goose. Yeah, no, you're giving me eyes. Me personally, and I said this going into last year before said quarterback broke his foot, I think Jack Cohn is good enough to be an NFL quarterback, but that's neither here nor there.
Different segment, maybe completely. 10 segments if you're doing it, but yeah.
Give me a full Wednesday show on it. So Wild Goose, you're talking about a guy who's 5'11", 197 pounds, pretty much your perfect build for a corner. He didn't have the interception numbers at Wisconsin. He only recorded one. He had a good amount of tackles, but it's not the stat sheet that you should be looking at. It's his trajectory here. So in 2018, he allowed 31 receptions on 53 targets for 363 yards. Since that point, all of those numbers have trended positively for him, meaning he's allowing fewer catches on fewer targets for fewer yards. He has improved pretty much every snap he's played at Wisconsin. And the one game I really look at to show what he could do in the NFL was week one against Illinois. 2020, Wisconsin wins, I believe, 45-7. Pretty much boat races Illinois off the field. But on Illinois' team is a future NFL wide receiver, Josh Amaterbebe, huge, physical, point-of-catch wide receiver. Rashad Wild Goose held him. Now, he was on Amaterbebe pretty much the whole game. He held him to 3 catches for 26 yards, completely took him out of the game. And game script, you would think, would have favored Amaterbebe because Wisconsin was up the whole game. So you would think Illinois would look to throw more. Rashad Wild Goose played tremendously.
By the way, where is he scheduled to go? Second round?
I'm not completely sure, but it's a mid. He'll be a mid to late round receiver. He'll be someone that has a chance to make an NFL roster. He's not your Rashad Bateman, but he has the talent to go to the NFL. So Wild Goose isn't going to be your Patrick Surtain, Jace Horn, Asante Samuels Jr., where you know you draft him, he's making the roster, he's starting on day one. But this is a guy in Wild Goose that has the speed, he has the physicality, and he has the build to compete with NFL receivers. You need all that. He has a really good nose for the football, willing, effective tackler, and he was part of an advanced defensive scheme, Jim Leonard's, that would translate to the NFL, where if you put him on an NFL field and tell him to retain certain defensive information, he's shown that he could do that. The real only negatives for him is that there isn't much tape on him because he didn't really play last year. And the sample size being small, he projects kind of more as a nickel corner, maybe not going up against your top receivers in the NFL. And his play can get a little volatile, where, you know, he'll be a little streaky at times. But this is a guy that'll go fifth, sixth round, and in my opinion, will make an NFL roster, won't start day one, but could play himself into playing time.
Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com, the place to get any wholesale car part you may need. rockauto.com, rockauto.com is your one-stop shop for wholesale prices and that single car part that you may be looking for to make that fix yourself. Save a ton of money by not going in to the shop and having them charge you all this extra stuff. You don't even know what you're paying for half the time. And they charge you more for the part than you should get charged for that part. RockAuto.com is the family-owned run business that gets you that part at the best possible price you will find and lets you do that yourself. RockAuto.com, make sure in there, how did you hear about us box at checkout? You tell them that Locked On sent you. RockAuto.com. And now that we're talking NFL draft, Ben, the Locked On Mock Draft fully underway. Locked On Ultimate Mock Draft is wherever you get your podcast. This is up, and they're doing a live literal mock draft. Every single day, episodes are coming out as they go through the first round and then on to the second round, where the Locked On hosts of each football team are making the selections. So it's a lot of fun, a wild listen, some interesting things going on there, some trades happen. I mean, you can trade, you can do whatever you want. It's like a real draft with these Locked On hosts that are experts in their market, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. So check out the Locked On Ultimate Mock Draft, one of the coolest things we do at the Locked On Podcast Network every single year. Speaking of the draft again, Ben, I have my scouting reports in front of me, and it's time to play a little game. So here's how it's going to work, all right? I have three players, and I have their negatives, specifically their negatives. I looked up purposely what was the dig on them in scouting reports, and I found some quotes for each one, okay? These are three guys that are in the NFL right now. They all went to Wisconsin, obviously. This is Locked On Badgers. They all went to Wisconsin. They are all different ages, so I'm not going to give you that kind of hint. Some are vets. Some may be young. I don't know. And that's all I'm going to tell you. I'm going to read you the negatives, and you're going to tell me who this guy is, okay?
Let's do it. Yep. All right. Yeah, let's run it.
Player number one. Quote, won't consistently get the edge on offensive tackles with his get off or quickness. End quote. Quote number two. This is for player number one still. Lacks some lateral mobility, both rushing the passer and playing in space.
Oh, I think I know who this is.
Third quote. And this one is fun. Quote, he won't ever be a stud pass rusher. End quote.
I think I know where this is going.
Who is it?
It's TJ Watt.
It is JJ Watt.
No.
But you're not far off. It was JJ Watt. If you're playing along at home, that is not a point for Ben. No half points, no brother points. Although I'm sure a lot of the negatives for TJ are probably the negatives for JJ too. So given that they were related, I'm sure there were some biological things there, you know, maybe that they saw. Who knows?
You know, I actually saw JJ at some point on YouTube read that scouting report on the Dan Patrick show. So I should have gotten that. I knew it was one of them.
All right. This one you should get. I think this is the easiest of the three.
Russell Wilson.
No, you're already wrong.
Go ahead.
Let me read two of them and I guarantee you get it by the third. All right. Actually, you'll get it on number one. Ready? Number one, quote, below average ball security.
Jonathan Taylor.
Ding, ding, ding. The other two may have carried too much of the load. How much tread is left on the tires?
Yep.
And then number three, still has to prove himself as a
receiving
and yep. Ass catcher. Jonathan Taylor. I mean, how easy was that one? That was too easy.
I could have read them out without even seeing the sheet.
Everybody had the same exact, like that was a very clear, everyone had the same negatives like the whole time. All right.
It was a lazy, they were all lazy takes.
All right.
Which frustrated me, but that's another day.
Ready? Number three. Oh, wow. So I forgot what this first one was. This is hilarious. Quote, teams question his love for football.
Oh, God.
End quote. Number two, lacks heavy hands. Number three, inexperienced, only 1 year of top-level college football. Number four, could stand to add more upper body strength. Number five, had an off-season hip surgery that could limit him early on. Do we give you some strengths, possibly, to help you out with this one? This one's a lot tougher. Here are some strengths. Quality run blocker. Athletic ability for his size. Can bend at the knee. I like that one. Can mirror speed rushers. Quick feet. Flashes quality technique. But remember, people are questioning his love for football.
Which is another one of the laziest takes heading into draft season. I have one guess, and I could be way off. Is it Ryan Ramczyk?
It is Ryan Ramczyk. Would you have got that without the strengths, without knowing he was an offensive lineman because of the strength?
That was going to be my guess, because I remember more clearly the offensive linemen that have gone in the NFL since him. And I do, it was the hip thing. I do remember them questioning the love for football thing. I obviously didn't know, because they make that up about so many people. It's like, yeah, he played high level college football. He's going to the NFL, but does he really want to play the game? Ugh.
So also interesting about Ryan Ramczyk that I didn't really know this timeline of him, because one of those negatives was only played at the top for 1 year. Right. I knew he transferred to Wisconsin, but listen to this route he took. This is crazy. So if you don't know who Ryan Ramczyk is, by the way, I'm sure most people know or listening absolutely know who this is. First round pick in 2017 out of Wisconsin, one of the better offensive tackles in the NFL right now. First team All Pro in 2019. Has had a really, really great start to his career in the first few years of being a New Orleans Saint. So listen to this. I mean, this is just wild. Madison Area Technical College, MATC, which is our community college in Madison.
Little Mad Tech.
Then went to Mid-State Technical College in Stevens Point, each for one semester. Then went to University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. And then went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison when Paul Christ became head coach. That is quite the Wisconsin journey. Two community colleges in the state. Then you go to UW-Stevens Point. Then, and he's from... born and raised in Stevens Point, then back to UW-Madison.
And he is now one of, if not the best right tackles in football.
He's phenomenal. He is phenomenal for the New Orleans Saints, but I question his love for football.
Okay, can I give you one? Do we have time for me to give you one?
Time to you one in just a sec. In just a sec. Because today's episode, I got to tell the people, is brought to you by betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is the one place that we trust at the Locked On Podcast Network to fulfill all of your betting needs. Live games, live action. What's the best betting thing coming up? I'm trying to think. NBA playoffs is pretty good. Pretty dang good. Baseball, just like at noon, if you're just like feeling a little bored. Wow.
Brewers plus 180 yesterday.
Brewers, Ben bets every, remember Ben bets every kidding? Wisconsin sports team now, because he's trying to become a Wisconsin sports fan. So he's trying to just bet every game to manipulate that process. And yeah, he hit his Brewers plus 180 yesterday on betonline.ag. And when you go to betonline.ag right now and start your account and use the code LOCKEDON, you get 50% added to your initial deposit. Betonline.ag, use that code LOCKEDON, 50% added to your initial deposit. Betonline.ag. All right, Ben, you can give me that last one before we wrap it up for a Thursday.
All right, ready? So I'm going to read it. These aren't bullet points, but I'll summarize. The weaknesses. He has character concerns.
Ooh.
Reports suggest that his leadership has been less than desirable, and scouts will likely question a mindset that painted a picture of arrogance rather than work ethic.
Wow.
He detached. It doesn't get better. He detached himself from his teammates, and while he worked hard to change that his senior year, it is still something that will be on the minds of evaluators. Now, that was a big paragraph. Then finally, they go to a one sentence next paragraph that starts on the field. He lacks strong instincts, showing an ability to feel defenders and showing an inability to feel defenders and adapt. He will often just hit the hole rather than let his blocks work and running lanes develop. He is fairly one-dimensional, lacking the experience as a receiver out of the backfield.
Okay, so we're going running back, obviously. Man, so at the very, I'll be honest, at very first, like, few bullet points, I thought when you were doing weakness, I thought we were going to go Quintez Cephas here because I thought they would think something of the, and it couldn't be further from the truth, like, that he's some terrible character guy. But obviously, because of what happened, I would assume that could be in a pre-draft scouting report you'd find online, right? Like, because of, I mean, when that kind of thing happens, even though it was proven in court to be completely false, and he's completely innocent of any wrongdoing in a court, like that will stick with you, you know? So I was thinking that, but man, like just a locker room cancer. Like, is this guy in the NFL currently?
He is currently in the NFL.
Oof.
I'll give you a hint. Think about the audience of the person who just presented said, comments on his pre-draft whole process.
I mean, is it Melvin Gordon? Like,
it's not Melvin Gordon. Melvin
Gordon. He's not. No, I didn't think it was. That's the first running back that comes to my mind. That's not JT. It's a Wisconsin back. Melvin Gordon does not have character issues, like, by any means. That's never been a thing with Melvin Gordon. Man, I'm thinking. I'm gonna get it. Don't worry, I'm gonna get it. I feel like if I was around for this guy, like if I covered this guy, I'd know it easily. So I feel like there are people at home right now that know this immediately. And I'm
do you want a final giveaway hint?
No. I don't think I do. I think I just want to keep thinking about running backs. So like the other name that came to mind was Monty Ball, but not in the NFL. So, all right, give me that giveaway hint then. Fine.
This player who was one-dimensional and could not catch the football.
Oh, could not catch the football? Why did I say James White? I guess I just forgot the clues. I forgot all the weaknesses beyond. The one that stuck with my mind was like...
Was the character
person until his senior year when he was like kind of an okay person. That was the only
thing. Yeah, well...
Is it Darius Wale?
Nope. This running back...
It's not him.
This running back,
people. Like that's why I'm not trying to like. These are all everyone I think of, like James White, Melvin Gordon.
They're Darren great. Paul,
none of them have ever had any like. Oh, that guy has serious character issues. So who is this?
So this running back who could not catch the football happened to have, I believe, four receptions for 100 receiving yards in the Eagles' 41-33 Super Bowl victory.
Oh, Corey Clement! I forgot he was in the NFL. I forgot he was still in the NFL.
Yeah, he's on the Eagles still.
Oh, how did I? You're an Eagles guy. I'm so stupid. How did I know? Okay, I will say I did not even think of him as an active NFL player because there was a time where he was out of the league, like recently, right?
He was on the injured reserve. He's always technically been on the team, but yes. No, I just found it funny. He's unable to catch of the
team in years.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. Well, that was really fun. We should do that again throughout draft week. That was a lot of fun. How did I forget Corey Clement with an Eagles fan as my co-host? That's terrible. I'll be better when we do this next, but that was a lot of fun. I question Ryan Ramczyk's love for football. I question if Corey Clement was only a good dude his senior year. You know, these are big questions that have to be answered on Scouting Reports pre-draft. Ben, we'll talk more draft next week, and we have some volleyball to recap on Friday because a huge Final Four game is coming up in just a few hours.
Yep. Yeah, I'm excited to watch tonight. I'll see you guys all tomorrow.
As always, on Wisconsin.